Listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to Pure Hardcore Radio. How's it, baby?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt, I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose, I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers, I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers, come one, come all, because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Scheduled for 60 minutes next. He's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing.
Yes. Hello, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am the prince of all hosts, one and only being. Right here on RBN. Brought to you by TLBTalk.com. Free speech social network. If you're not there, then you're square. Visit the site. Make a profile and join a discussion. All right. Here we go again. I really want to take a break. You know, I'm waiting for more facts since there's... the facts are changing with this Uvalde false flag shooting. It's a false flag scenario in any case. There's nothing straightforward about this. But I think we're just going to have to wait for the official 9/11 book, you know, the report, the Uvalde official report version of the story, because they're still forming it. They gotta get people off. They gotta, because there's certain cops that did certain things they weren't supposed to be doing. They gotta save face. They gotta protect useless cops' lives, or jobs rather, things like that. So there's way too much politics in it for us to get the actual facts or truth. So that's okay. Not everybody can relate with the hate of the state in this way. So we're going to skip on to another subject tonight. Something. Yeah, I know, right? I'm pretty sure everybody's tired of hearing it. But already, with all the shootings, they're just tired of hearing it. It's just going to blend. People are going to be like, huh, what shooting? What shooting? Huh? And it's going to lose its power. I really hope it's going to lose its power. When people think of, you know, mass shootings, oh, yeah, cool. What's today? Wednesday? Aren't we due for another one? It's just going to be like a weather forecast. Nobody's going to care anymore. I hope it gets to that point. People are still not going to give up their guns. All right? Can I give an applause on that one? People are not going to be giving up their guns, no matter what. New World Order, Democrats, you sold out. was sold out. Oh, no, okay, wait, hold on, now, no, wait, no, hold on for a stage in the show. We're going to revisit that sometime later in the show here. All right, so, people, I want to just, the food crisis, let's start there, let's set the tone for the show, let's go with the first clip here.
Before Russia's invasion 3 months ago, Ukraine was known as the world's breadbasket. It exported 12% of the world's wheat, 15% of its corn, and half of its sunflower oil. But with its Black Sea ports such as Odessa blocked by Russian warships, goods can only travel on congested land routes that are far less efficient. It's led to food shortages that threaten to push tens of millions of people into food insecurity and famine.
It is absolutely essential that we allow these ports to open, because this is not just about Ukraine. This is about the poorest of the poor around the world who are on the brink of starvation as we speak. So I ask President Putin, if you have any heart at all, to please open these ports.
Secretary General Antonio Guterres is warning there is no solution to the growing global food crisis without reintegrating Ukraine's food production into world markets.
Russia must permit the safe and secure export of grain stored in Ukrainian ports. Alternative transportation routes can be explored, even if we know that by itself they will not be enough to solve the problem.
At a food security meeting at the UN, America's top diplomat urged countries to make significant new contributions to humanitarian organizations facing food insecurity. He also called on countries with significant grain and fertilizer reserves to help.
There are an estimated 22 million tons of grain sitting in silos in Ukraine right now. Food that could immediately go toward helping those in need, if it can simply get out of the country.
Food supplies around the world have already been declining because of warming temperatures and the pandemic. Guterres says talks can prevent a crisis, but with the war in Ukraine expected to continue long term, many are questioning whether that's possible. Victoria Gatenby, Al Jazeera.
Yeah, we're going to have a bit of a documentary-style show here. People like my documentaries, and even though it's not a visual thing, we're going to have a bit of that style, because I can make a better presentation that way by giving you examples and information that does not come from me. And with contrast with information that does come from me. So, okay. 22 million tons of grain. I'm, you know, 14% of the world's grain coming out of Ukraine does not impress me. It doesn't. It's the United States that feeds a lot of the world, anywhere where GMO is accepted. And, you know, South America, you know, there are farms everywhere. Every nation has a farm. To say a certain percentage that small is causing a world famine, I'm not buying it. Okay? For the simple fact that, you know, America's farmers being owed on my show, I think a couple weeks ago, we had the clip from the president of the Black Farmers Association on the show. They can't do their jobs because the government is not paying them what they're supposed to be paying them. $5 billion to get the industry boosted back to where it's supposed to be from our black farmers in the United States. But yet we send $40 billion to Ukraine for what? For what? We don't have access to those 22 million tons of grain. What do we buy with that 40 million? What did we buy? The soldiers there, the Ukrainian soldiers are giving up because they don't have any rearward support, no battle commanders, okay? No training. Not like we can send American troops in there because that'd be the start of World War III. So what did our $40 billion to Ukraine do exactly? I'm just so upset that America can't do America first. This is how you know the Democrats are trying to destroy the country. How are you going to send $40 billion to some country and get nothing out of it? It's a losing war. It's a losing front. You know, America, biggest moneymaker is war. I understand that. But when you dump $40 billion into a lost cause, and when we could just get ourselves back on track with $5 billion by giving, you know, that $5 billion to black farmers in America, that says a lot. I know we covered, you know, racism and social engineering, a constant topic on the show. But if you don't see the evidence by now, then I don't know what. I don't know what else to tell you guys. But food shortages, I don't know. I'm not in the States. I'm not experiencing the food shortage here. Prices have hiked up, for sure. No food shortages, though. I've seen the videos on YouTube nonstop of the shelves that are half to mostly empty. I understand that. They aren't completely empty. I know people are brand loyal. But food is food. You know, get what's on the shelf. You gotta survive, right? So, even in a food shortage, people, if you're an off-brand, you're still not gonna be able to make any money, which is sad. What happened to diversity in industry? You know, it doesn't matter how many brands come out of something. If you're brand loyal because you've been brainwashed by commercials or you're, you know, a slave to your own taste buds, well, that monopoly still exists. Only certain companies can put out food, and you stick to them, which is total garbage. Yeah, so, I mean, what about, you know what, Mike, I need to talk to you here, since you're there. So what about McDonald's? What about Burger King? What about Taco Bell? Are they saying, no, I can't serve you today?
Well, let's chat a bit. Okay, I made a note there. Prices are off the charts for a lot of things. If you want certain things, you're paying a premium. So as far as shortages, yeah, I'd say there are shortages, but we're not seeing empty shelves. But you go to your favorite place, you go to your quick stop on the way in, you're going to pay top dollar. You know, I think a lot of companies already were charging kind of a top dollar, but it's up 10, 20, 15 at least percent at like fast food joints. And, you know, the shipping issues are, I think, the main concern here. Probably they're waiting for prices to go up or down. There's backlogs everywhere. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, I would say you and Poland are in the Western sphere. We have hitched our wagon to the Western European garbage here, and that's why I think our gas is just ridiculous here. The, you know, petrol for your automobile is out of control. I mean, you can see the price will go up 40, 50 cents for a certain grade. I like to get the non-ethanol, and there's not a lot of places that have the non-ethanol. I have an old car, and it seems to just work better. And today I'm driving around, and it's up 40 cents from a 4 or 5 days ago. And I'm talking, you know, above $5 here. You know, went from like 5 and some cents to 5.48. Regular is over $4, and this is Texas, man. And I'm sure this has something to do with the whole Western connection here. They've cut themselves off from Russia. Thanks, guys. We're all on the same team here. You know, come on, man. And now,
yeah,
what are we, just shipping our stuff over there? I don't know. I don't get a lot of like just hardcore.
Well, we're getting a lot of our stuff from I do believe Norway now, since we've been cut off from the Nord Stream pipeline. So we're getting our stuff from Norway, which is kind of weird because the contract for our gas and oil. Our contract here in Poland apparently ended about the same time where they started cutting us off from the pipeline, and that's to Bulgaria as well. So
and this is shoot in foot syndrome, I think, as far as the Western sphere of influence and economic agreements is concerned. There's no real reason for this. I don't know. You know, we stir up this crap. We let our people stir this crap up in Ukraine in 2014. NATO, as impotent as they are, apparently they're still able to, you know, it's like the guy you kicked out of your party, but they can still break some windows and, you know, throw some stink bombs in. They're they can't contribute anymore, but they can definitely drag us into this stupid, outdated. Like, when is the next time we're going to see an actual invasion of any land after this Russian-Ukrainian thing?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
We're in the new warfare. It's not land invasion. It's your electricity doesn't work, your internet sucks, and your military is just buying more bombs because that keeps them in the green, and we're not really using any of this effectively or properly.
Well, it's sort of like I said before, it's they have to cycle the four horsemen: war, disease, famine, just senseless death. They have to cycle it. So now the cycle is, you know, it's on a full swing here. You know, they have to keep the public controlled with panic and fear. Oh, now we must listen to everything our government says. But they also now have corporations. Corporations are a power too. And as you just said, you know, I don't think these McDonald's or Burger King, they're not necessarily having shortages, but the food price is up, right? Are you agreeing with me on that one? Because yeah, I don't know. I'm not there.
Well, I mean, okay, back maybe just a few months ago, you could, you know, needed to stop into the Wendy's. Wendy's was kind of a higher price thing. And no complaints about the quality. The quality of the food seems to be good, but you're paying that extra 10, 15, 20%. I mean, the first thing I noticed was my favorite Vietnamese restaurant. I like to get their kind of special combo meal. It was a good meal. You could, you know, last 2-3 meals worth, you know, 6 to whatever, 12-16 hours worth of food. A good couple of pounds of food, broth, noodles, whatever, you know, extra fry 'em ups and all that good stuff. It was like $13. You give them a couple of dollars in tip. Now, I went there a few months ago. I haven't been in a while. I paid $23 for the same meal. And that's kind of like the post-COVID price, you know? So this thing, this ain't new. This is kind of like they were squeezing Trump toward the end of that presidency, and then Biden came in, and they just unleashed the full fury and called it, you know, let's blame Trump kind of thing.
Well, the thing that I hate the most, I'm pretty sure there are companies out there like Slotsky's Deli. I've got a.
Yeah, they're the same.
You know,
they're still they're holding steady, but the quality there
operating.
Yeah, they're still good. We eat that occasionally.
Well, I have to throw them underneath the bus as much as humanly possible. I had a job there as a teenager, and it sickened me. I'm pretty sure they still do this, but it sickened me about how much food they threw away.
I knew you were going to say the waste. Yeah, the waste. When you're dealing with fresh product, the waste is huge.
When these companies tell you it's made fresh, 99% of the time, they're not lying to you. But that's why you're paying the exorbitant prices, though. It's made fresh. I used to be in there baking the bread. I used to... Now, average day, one day, I would throw away, and I'm talking about the huge garbage bags, I would throw away, at the end of my shift, at night, I would throw away 6 bags of untouched fresh bread. Fresh. I'm talking, you know, 12 hours old. So, I know their practices have not changed. You know, so in a time of famine, you still got this going on. And I don't want to say famine, but food shortage. Let's just keep it in perspective. Food shortage. Okay. So it's ridiculous. And this is going, the buck is going to be passed on to you. The Slotsky's Deli is not going to miss out on their money. So those prices of those sandwiches probably gone up probably $2. No, not that the bread in itself is that expensive. But you know how many times I just thought about just risking my job. Just, you know, I just threw away a month's worth of food every day. A month's worth of food. And I just kept getting more angry and irate the longer I worked there. It's like, you know what, and of course, you know, you can't just go into dumpsters, right, and take what's in there. They had, you know, the fence, the cameras, you know, locked up. It's completely, you know, you can normally jump a fence. This thing was like 9-foot, you know, like steel square bars and with 2 cameras on the dumpsters. That should let you know the value that they're throwing away, the money that they're throwing away.
Yeah, well, this is the same thing as paying farmers to destroy product. I mean, you can't have people to just, you can't give it away. Liability issues, maybe insurance issues on top of that, but you can't be driving prices down by letting people get whatever they want that's thrown away the night before. Those days are long gone and will return, I'm sure, but right now we're in that sweet spot.
Well, it's a crime. It's a crime. It should be addressed. You know, food drive giveaways. I believe here in Europe, I believe it was in Italy, the government interceded in with these companies and said, you know, you've got to give away some of this food. And I thought it was going to be a trend that was going to pick up around the world, but it did not catch on. I think maybe 2 or 3 other countries that I can't name right now sort of did it, and that's the last I heard of it. So we seriously need some help here. But we need people, corporations, to step in. You know, whatever happened to those companies, you know, oh, we care. We just donated this. You don't even see that anymore. Here, we did this. We donated 1% of our profits. Well, you don't see that kind of stuff anymore. So it's almost like they all got it in for us in some way or another. Oh boy. Okay, you know what? We're so this is just to get us started on the topic. And yes, I know the phone lines are blowing up here, but guys, you can either hold on for another 45 minutes or you can call back during the second hour. Just let me get the stuff out so we can truly get to the topic of the show. So let's skip the break and hit this next video.
Hang on. All right, here we go.
So we've reached the point where prominent figures in the conservative movement, including Republican politicians, office holders, and Fox News hosts, are calling for the United States to intentionally starve babies in its care. That is not hyperbole, and it's not satire. It is the actual stated position now on the right. As you've probably heard, there is a nationwide shortage of baby formula. We're going to discuss the complicated causes and possible solutions for that urgent crisis in a moment. But causes and solutions are not what the modern conservative movement really does when faced with a legitimate governing crisis. What they do is sniff around like a dog after a carcass to find the grossest way to demagogue the issue. And they have certainly found that here. Now, there are at least 20,000 migrants total held in U.S. detention facilities on any given day. A very, very small portion of them are infants, like nursing children, okay? We have a legal obligation under something called the Flores Settlement to give those children in our custody food and water. For babies, of course, that often means formula. So the right solution to this formula crisis and shortage is to stop feeding the immigrant babies. Yesterday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said in a statement, in part, quote, "While mothers and fathers stare at empty grocery store shelves in panic, the Biden administration is happy to provide baby formula to illegal immigrants coming across our southern border. Our children deserve a president who puts their needs and survival first, not one who gives critical supplies to illegal immigrants before the very people he took an oath to serve." The conservative hosts on Fox News have just run that through the echo chamber.
Our border children, the illegal immigrant children, are getting formula.
American families, there's a shortage, but if you're a migrant, don't worry because Uncle Sam has a stash of that.
These are not people that respected our borders, our laws, and our sovereignty. Why wouldn't all the pallets go to American families first?
Apparently, there's no shortage of baby formula for illegal aliens. Why are we feeding illegal babies ahead of American babies?
Because they're babies, you doofus. Why are we feeding illegal babies, that guy just asked? His name is Jesse. He is, of course, pro-life. Of course, Jesse's idea is to starve the babies in migrant detention centers. And that, of course, wouldn't also
okay,
solve
stop
it.
Right there.
First of all, how many babies are...
Okay. Are you getting an echo, Mike?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because my Skype has shut down. I've had to open it again, and it's double the call. Anyways.
Yeah, please remind our listeners this is enemy propaganda, and I don't care about the slimy Republicans either, but come on, man. No, we should starve the citizen babies first. They must sacrifice for the illegal immigrants. I thought he wasn't going to say illegal.
Well, okay, so this is the divide. You inject people into our society, different culture, different language, and you make us hate, well, not like, not make them feel welcome. So you've already got a divide. You've got chaos. More issues for them to solve and not solve. Okay, so the Republicans, oh, yeah, they would just rather, you know, starve babies. Even if they're Mexican or illegal immigrants. Excuse me. The thing that everyone's missing here is that we're not supposed to have any illegals in the country. People are just totally missing that concept. If you cross the border illegally, you should be processed. I mean, photographs taken, fingerprints taken, criminal record taken, because you're at that point, and released back over the border. Catch and release. That's what our Border Patrol should be doing. Not putting them in cages and feeding them.
Well, I got an idea. Let's send them to the Native American casinos. They could work there. We'll put them in camps outside of the casinos in the deserts and the high plains.
No.
No illegal immigration. It's not a good idea.
Again, I'm here in Poland. I came here legally. I'm a legal resident here, soon to be citizen. I didn't break any laws. I'm not a criminal. For anybody who comes over the border, have automatically made themselves a criminal. So again, catch and release, send them back. They're not our priority. If their countries are so bad, they need to fight and make their country better. See, we as Americans, we're supposed to be fighting and making our country better. That's why we're no longer underneath the rule of King George and the United Kingdom Empire. Because we fought back, made our country better. If you have a whole bunch of people coming from around the world, running from their problems, to bring them to the United States, you're going to flood the country and change the whole mindset of the country, which is we're going to accept our problems and not do anything about it. We don't need that. So let's play the next one.
Hang on, I'm working on my mouse.
I actually have to restart my computer here so I can echo out.
We're in the same boat. Hang on.
Lord. You might as well take a quick commercial break.
Let's just do it. I'll see what I can do. Hang on. Let me undo this. Here we go. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Corporate media dominates the
American opinion. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Mitch McConnell is looking for a compromise on gun control. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. Republican Senate Minority Leader McConnell said yesterday, quote, "What I've asked Senator Cornyn to do is to meet with the Democrats who are interested in getting a bipartisan solution and coming up with a proposal, if possible, that's crafted to meet this particular problem," end quote. Well, this particular problem is a society without God. This particular problem is the mental health of a nation where over half of the population is on pharmaceuticals. This particular problem is a generation without responsibility or consequences. This problem is people divided by partisan hate driven by Washington, D.C. The problem is politicians who think that more gun laws will work where gun-free zone signs have failed. No gun law can ever be proposed to meet this particular problem. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pacem Parabellum.
Panicked families are struggling to find formula to feed their babies. A devastating shortage has left supermarket shelves empty across the country. Parents are turning to milk banks and to social media, searching for formula to swap or to buy. Four companies control 90% of the market. Perrigo makes store brand formula for companies like Amazon and Walmart. Their CEO tells Reuters he expects the shortage to last the rest of the year. The White House announced several moves today, including a new website aimed at helping parents find formula, hhs.gov/formula. The FDA also announced today it will release plans next week to streamline formula coming from outside the U.S. President Biden defended his administration, brushing off questions over whether he should have acted sooner. He said White House officials are working very hard to bring relief to families. The formula shortage has been building for about a year. But just last week, the national out-of-stock rate for baby formula jumped to a high of 43%. CNBC's Valerie Castro now on how this shortage happened.
For parents across the country,
it's scary not knowing if you're going to be able to feed your kid.
The fear is very real when they see store shelves that look like this.
A couple stores we've been in have not had it, and we've had to go to the next location.
But the baby formula crisis didn't happen overnight. Pandemic-related supply chain issues last year, coupled with a voluntary recall this year by one of the largest producers, packed the final punch. Abbott Nutrition pulled several of its major brands and shut down a factory after concerns over bacterial infections reported in four infants. With just two other major producers, it's been tough to pick up the slack.
What we're going through right now is surreal. We should not be in a situation where we are questioning, is there enough food in this country to feed babies?
Laura Modi, CEO of Bobby, an online organic baby formula company, pins the problem on too few producers in a major industry.
The majority of the market is owned by very few players. And when one of those players goes down, when one of those players has a recall, you better believe that there's going to be a gap.
Another barrier, strict regulatory standards prevent most overseas imports and leave parents with few other options. Modi says as demand has grown, her company has had to stop accepting new customers to ensure enough supply for the existing ones. She says while parents continue the hunt, changes are needed at the top.
We need to incentivize more players to be able to enter the industry, and we need to support bigger companies that exist and are doing what they do very well with more resources, more safety, more FDA oversight. If we can do that, I think we'll be out of a crisis.
Abbott Nutrition, the company that recalled its products earlier this year and shut down a factory, says it's now working to address any issues flagged by the FDA at its Michigan facility and hopes to restart production at that plant in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so remember what I said about off-brands? We want to encourage off-brand people to make stuff. Well, you're talking about, when you talk about that, you're talking about, okay, there are existing off-brand people, but the majority of the off-brands are controlled by the main brands. Why? Because the off-brands buy their product from the main brands at a cut rate price and just put their label on it. So you're talking about, at this point, the inflation is going to go all around. I mean, the price is going to be higher for off-brands to buy their product from the major brands and put them out on the shelves. Now, there are some off-brands that do, in fact, make their own cereal. I mean, I did this experiment when I was a kid. You know, I've had these discussions with my parents, you know, when it came to cereal. Oh, Mom, I don't want that stuff in that big old bag. Can I just get the stuff in this little box? Tastes better. It's the same stuff. Should buy it. A lot of times it was the same stuff. Sometimes it wasn't the same stuff. So, I mean, this is personal experience here. So, and you're still creating more of a demand for these off-brand people to buy more from our food sources. So you're talking about creating an option where the real option should be at this point would be, you know, to make your own formula. I mean, we have so many issues that all happened at once. We got the CIA flying their Cessnas with bombs in them at our grain silos, destroying our own food producers. Okay? It's an inside job, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is. It is. It's obvious as all hell. You had this large recall, a voluntary, quote-unquote, recall of baby formula that was infected. Okay? So, I want to just get into what's going on here, because, you know, this shortage was created on purpose, obviously. So what is the next best thing? Oh, well, maybe we should be breastfeeding. When I say we, I mean, of course, the women of the nation, women of the world. This was planned, okay? This was planned because the COVID-19 jab was not approved for infants. Was not approved. I'll say it one more time. The COVID-19 jab was not approved for infants. Play the next clip, please.
You know, we all know there's a wide range of symptoms associated with COVID-19, but a recent viral post is calling attention to a surprising revelation. You got to check this out. COVID-19 has continued to surprise us all, not only by how it affects the body, but how it affects everyone differently. Various symptoms have been reported over the last year, from loss of taste and smell to lesions on the feet, also known as COVID toes. But one new mom has recently gone viral for yet another strange side effect, green breast milk. People on the internet were shocked, while others even came forward with the same problem. But how common is color-changing breast milk? Is it safe for the baby? And when is it an emergency? The doctors investigate. And joining us is the mom whose green breast milk went viral. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So first things first, you had COVID. How are you feeling now?
We're doing much better now. The only symptom that's left is I still can't smell anything.
Question, did your baby ever get it?
She actually got sick before I did, but she had a very mild case, just a slight fever and a little bit of cough. I actually think I got it from her.
So Anna, when did you notice the green breast milk?
So I normally breastfeed directly, and I only pump occasionally because I donate and I like to have a small stash saved up for emergencies. So probably around when I was most sick, like maybe a weekend, I decided to pump because I felt like my supply was a little low. And that was when I noticed the bright green milk that I ended up posting. I did have like lighter milk throughout the illness as I continued pumping and freezing it throughout that time. But the brightest green was like at the peak of my illness, like a weekend.
So did you call your doctor at that point?
I did. I did a call my doctor's pediatrician right away, and she asked if I had changed anything in my diet, which I hadn't, because I've heard that's a common reason that breast milk will change color. And she said not to worry about it. It's completely normal. It was most likely caused by antibodies from my daughter being sick and then myself being sick, and that it was perfectly safe to continue breastfeeding her as normal.
All right. Well, to help shed more light on this, I'd like to bring in pediatrician Dr. Daphna Adut. Dr. Adut, a pleasure to have you back on the show. So what do you think is going on with the green breast milk that Anna's talking about?
Anna's pediatrician is definitely on the right track. When mom is sick with COVID or the flu, or even when baby is sick, mom starts producing antibodies and white blood cells. These are cells that fight infection. And both the antibodies and white blood cells are transferred from the breast milk to baby. And that causes the breast milk to change color. And so that's definitely right on the right track with that. And also, like what Anna was mentioning, when we're eating different foods like green vegetables or any drinks that have a green dye in it, that can also definitely change the breast milk to a green hue. And in cases of mastitis, so that's a breast infection, that can also change the breast milk to green. However, it's still encouraged and advised that mom continue breastfeeding through that as well.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. This is not like when you drink Mountain Dew and your crap turns green, okay? It would take a large amount of dye for that to happen. Large amount. And as you notice, I mean, they're throwing all these excuses in there, but the mother said she didn't have any changes in her diet, okay? What we have is a real problem here, all right? The problem here is the jab, which is not a vaccine, which is not gene therapy, okay, is a mutagen. Mutagen. There you go. And so, yeah, a mutagen, which is something, you know what, how long is that, the next clip? Let's see if we can fit it in here before the break.
Hi, everyone.
Mike?
If you stuck with me on the intro video, you might remember that a mutagen just refers to an environmental agent that damages the DNA. So, in other words, it's an agent which can cause or increase the rate of mutations. In this video, we're going to be chatting about the different kinds of mutagens, which links up with the syllabus dot point shown below the video. There are lots of different mutagens in our environment, but there are three main groups which we need to look at: electromagnetic radiation sources, chemicals, and naturally occurring mutagens. So guys, you know the drill. Let's get into it. So, firstly, electromagnetic radiation. EM radiation refers to a group of waves which carry electromagnetic energy. These waves include radio waves, microwaves, infrared light, visible light, UV light, X-rays, and gamma rays. Now, don't get me wrong, all of these guys are a part of the EM radiation club. But not all of them are a part of the mutagen club. Only the waves on this side of the spectrum, so the ones which are short wavelength, high energy waves, can cause mutation. So they're the only ones we really need to care about. Okay, so we know that UV light, X-rays and gamma rays are all a type of radiation which can cause mutation. But how do they actually cause mutations? Well, the answer comes down to the fact that these electromagnetic waves are carrying a lot of energy. When they move through matter, so like a cell for example, they give up some of their energy to the atoms they hit. The atoms are now super hyped up, charged with all the extra energy from the EM waves. They literally vibrate with excitement, just like someone who's just had a coffee and chased it up with a couple of Red Bulls. On top of vibrating, in an attempt to lose some energy, the atoms will also lose electrons. This is what causes the bonds to break and causes damage. So, for example, the chemical bonds which are holding the DNA building blocks together might break so that the backbone splits or the bases might rebind to the wrong ones. In some cases, the cell's DNA will be so damaged that it dies. But it's also possible that the cell may survive, only that some of its DNA is mutated. So, overall, you really want to try and avoid high-energy electromagnetic radiation in daily life. But the thing is, unless you're living under a rock, you just can't avoid it. I mean, the biggest source of electromagnetic radiation in everyday life is the sun. It emits infrared, visible, and UV light that make it to the Earth's surface. Even though infrared and visible light aren't strong enough to cause mutations, the dangerous one, which I'm sure you're all well aware of, is UV light, which can cause mutations. This is why your parents have been nagging you to wear a hat and sunscreen your whole life. Basically, the sun is a dangerous beast who you really don't want to mess with. Okay, so another source of high-energy radiation are radioactive elements, such as uranium-236. Don't worry about remembering all of them, just use uranium-236 as an example. Basically, they just release gamma rays, along with some other types of radiation, as they decay. There are two main sources of radioactive elements. Either they exist in chemistry labs or in areas where nuclear bombs have gone off. The last common source of electromagnetic radiation worth mentioning is medical imaging machines, like X-ray machines and PET scanners. X-ray machines are also used as airport scanners. The second big group of mutagens are certain chemicals. Different chemicals can cause mutations, but they do it in very different ways. So instead of doing a big explanation, we're just going to look at examples which cover the main ways chemicals cause mutation. The first example is when a chemical is accidentally incorporated into the DNA instead of proper nucleotides. 5-bromodeoxyuridine, or 5-BDU for short, is an example of such a chemical. Remember DNA polymerase, the enzyme which catalyzes DNA replication? Well, it gets tricked into thinking 5-BDU is thymine and accidentally incorporates it into DNA during replication.
They ask you how you are, you just have to say that you're fine when you're not really fine, but you just can't get into it because they would never understand.
I know. Why would DNA polymerase do such a stupid thing? Well, the thing is, 5-BDU is similar enough to thymine to be incorporated, just not similar enough to actually be thymine and allow the cell to operate normally. The second example is where a chemical actually inserts itself into the DNA. Actinomycin D is a chemical which can come into contact with DNA and insert itself into the molecule. It actually creates a bulge in the DNA helix, which prevents DNA replication. A final example is that some chemicals can make gaps in the DNA. Take dimethyl sulfate, for example, which breaks the bond between the base and the sugar of a nucleotide to leave a gap, which either remains there or is randomly filled by another base, which could easily be different to the original one. So, the main ways that chemicals can cause mutations is by accidentally being incorporated into the DNA structure, inserting themselves into the DNA, or making gaps in the DNA. The last main group of mutagens we need to talk about are naturally occurring mutagens. Naturally occurring mutagens are chemicals, just like the last section, except that they specifically come from microorganisms, plants, and animals. Like chemicals, there are lots of different naturally occurring mutagens, which can cause different kinds of mutations. We're going to go through three real quick, just so you have some examples. In people, the most significant group of naturally occurring mutagens are mycotoxins. Mycotoxins refer to poisonous chemicals that are produced by fungi, and some are very capable of causing mutations. The reason they are the most significant is because they are the ones we are most likely to encounter by eating contaminated food, for example. Aflatoxin B1 is a specific example, and it causes mutations by inserting itself into the DNA and distorting it. Some substances produced by plants are also mutagenic. An example is cycasin, which is produced in the leaves of cycad plants. When eaten, it reacts with an enzyme in the stomach and breaks down into other chemicals.
Okay, I think we have an idea here. Now, if you guys understand those two things, EMF radiation and chemicals, okay? Let's talk about 5G. Let's talk about the jab. Yeah, well, what's the magic word when it comes to that? Well, you'll find out. We'll come back on the other side of this break. Stay tuned.
Site by rogue agents, federal forces, and domestic terrorist militias. This is your emergency broadcast system. This is a national alert. Imminent threat is nationwide. You must stay in sight of your homes or risk being shot on sight. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance. This is your emergency broadcast system. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org.